It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 893 for the 2nd of August, 2024. This week, Microsoft and Adobe are gigantic, but are they as evil as some would have us believe? Big doesn't always mean bad, so let's take a look. And in short circuits, what might the prosecution say in making the case that Adobe, Microsoft, or both are evil? I tried to work out what cases might be made. Microsoft is criticized frequently, and a firestorm hit Adobe earlier this year when the company modified some of its terms for using Creative Cloud apps. Windows 10 or 11 was running on an estimated 1.4 billion computers more than 2 years ago. That number has doubtless increased since then. Microsoft also has all but a solid lock on Office Suite applications. There are competitors, but Microsoft's Office applications are used by 80 to 90% of the market. WordPerfect, Apple iWork, OpenOffice, LibreOffice, Google Workspace, and Zoho have captured only a tiny part of the market. Adobe's market share in photography software is estimated to be around 70 to 80%, making it the dominant player in the market. That number is mainly a guess, but it's from reasonably well-informed people. In publishing, InDesign is believed to have 70% or more of the market share. I haven't found even a guess for video production and audio editing. The problem for those who would compete with Adobe overall is that its market share for those who need photography, video, audio, design, and publishing tools is certainly near 100%. That's because no other company offers the range of applications that comes anywhere close. Those who need just photography, or who need limited multiple capabilities, will find competitors that meet most of their needs. Adobe faces some significant competition, but only in limited scopes so far. So let's look at some competing products for Microsoft and Adobe applications. We'll start with competition for Microsoft's operating systems. Well, if not Windows, what? You have three basic choices: macOS, Linux, and Chrome. It's true that Microsoft has lost a little market share. They're down from 91% in January of 2013 to 72% earlier this year. That's according to Statista. macOS has increased from about 8% to 15%. Chrome didn't exist as an operating system in 2013, and it now has about 2% of the market. Linux was under 1% in 2013, now claims about 4% of the operating system market. The macOS is a fine operating system for home users, but it is less suited to the enterprise for several reasons. macOS is incompatible with some applications that are used in business, particularly when the company has created its own applications. Although the macOS is based on Unix, it is not immune to security threats. Users may develop a false sense of security, which makes exploits more likely. Users have limited hardware and software options because of Apple's closed ecosystem, which also leads to higher costs. And because the macOS is less common in business settings, IT support can be harder to find. Linux shares some of the macOS drawbacks, despite being the operating system that runs half or more of the internet. The first problem potential users encounter is which one? Because Linux is just the kernel, not the operating system. There are hundreds of Linux variants. Half a dozen or so are the most viable candidates for business. Linux may not be compatible with proprietary business applications, and device drivers for printers are a common problem. This all leads to problems in setting up and configuring both the hardware and the software. And Chrome OS, it's essentially a non-starter for use in enterprises because it lacks support for common applications and relies heavily on an internet connection to access most of its features. Customization is limited, and although Chrome OS security is robust, it does lack advanced protective features, and it's available only on a limited number of devices. Okay, so what's the competition for Microsoft's Office Suite? Writers and editors use Word, period. They may despise Word because it has features they don't need, and those features often get in the way of writing and editing, but it's what everybody has, over the years, agreed to use. For home users, there are economic considerations. Microsoft 365 includes online and local versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and OneNote for Windows and Mac OS, limited space on OneDrive, and for Windows only, the Access database. All of the applications can be installed on up to 5 computers used by members of the same family, along with mobile versions of some of the apps for Apple and Android devices. The cost is just $100 a year. Now, that's more than the cost of free for systems like LibreOffice and OpenOffice, but it's far less than the cost of Corel's competing WordPerfect Office suite. All right, let's flip over to Adobe. What's the competition for Creative Cloud? Well, quite simply, there isn't any. Users who need some combination of applications for photo editing, website design, publication management and page design, video production, audio editing, creation and editing of PDF documents, and media management, illustration, and animation simply won't find any competing organization that covers all those bases. If there's a market segment where Adobe faces serious challenges, photo applications is where it is. Affinity Photo, which was recently acquired by Canva, is a powerful photo editing application. It doesn't yet have anything like Adobe's Firefly technology, but overall it's easier to use than Photoshop. In part, that's because Affinity Photo has been built from the ground up over the past few years, and it doesn't need to maintain backward compatibility with several decades of previous versions the way Photoshop does. Adobe has improved many Photoshop features and functions, but it is then forced to retain options for users to enable legacy functionality. This must certainly get in the way and slow development, even though Adobe has shown complete mastery of agile development. Affinity doesn't have to deal with those kinds of problems, and the developers established a common framework that powers its 3 components: photography, design, and publishing. A single file format is used for all 3. Adobe is still the leader and offers tools that professionals and serious amateurs won't be willing to give up. Affinity Photo will attract users who want to edit their photographs but who are unwilling to sign up for a subscription program. Probably the application most at risk here will be Photoshop Elements. Moving on to competition for Adobe's audio and video applications, well, there's no shortage of video editors. Best known are Final Cut, which runs only on the Mac OS, Sony's Vegas Pro, and Avid Media Composer. Currently, Adobe Premiere has about a 50% market share, with Final Cut Pro second at around 30%. Sony Vegas Pro and Avid Media Composer are also RANs in the space, with the Sony product at 10% and Avid down at around 5%. Premiere is popular among both amateur and professional editors. Final Cut Pro has an edge for Mac users, and Avid Media Composer is popular in the film and television industries. Likewise, several competing audio applications exist, including some that are designed for music production, which is not Adobe Audition's strong point. Publishing applications? Well, Adobe InDesign has captured most of the publishing market with at least 50% market share, perhaps as much as 70%. The most serious competition is probably from Quark Express, which was the early leader, but quickly fell behind InDesign. Affinity Publisher is a good choice for less complex designs, but InDesign's native functions, combined with its ability to add specialized functions with plugins, has positioned it very well for the future. Does Adobe have competition for its design applications? Well, there is some competition here. Also from Affinity, by way of its acquisition of Canva, Affinity's 3 photo designer and publisher applications play very well with Canva's online powerhouse designing website. In acquiring Affinity, Canva set its sights squarely on those people who are called on to create visual components for their organization, despite having no training in design. When Canva acquired Affinity, Canva's chief operating officer, Cliff Obrecht, noted that the visual communication is critical to enterprises and that these needs are core to the future of the business. The need to create effective and engaging visual content is on the rise, Obrecht said. Affinity has around 3 million users, and Canva reports having 135 million monthly users, although the majority of those are using the free plan. About 16 million are paid subscribers. What may be the most concerning to Adobe could be the fact that an estimated 85% of the Fortune 500 companies use Canva. Professional designers are likely to feel stifled by Canva's methods, but those without a design and graphic degree or much background in design will see the system as a way to create illustrations that are good enough. There is virtually no competition for Adobe's website development application, Dreamweaver. Microsoft's Power Pages is the only true competing application, but other competitors do exist. Online development tools such as Wix, Web.com, Shopify, Site123, and others are more than adequate for many sites, even commercial sites, and most hosting platforms do offer WordPress, often at no additional charge. So, are these big guys really evil? Any organization with the number of users Adobe and Microsoft have is bound to have some detractors. It's not that the companies have never done anything wrong. Both have. Both have made mistakes. Both are guilty of making the occasional boneheaded decision. And both have made decisions that have angered users over the years. Adobe, for example. Since the beginning, Photoshop had a problem with resizing images. Unless the user held down a modifier key, dragging resize failed to maintain the image's aspect ratio. Then, after decades of doing it wrong, Photoshop suddenly maintained aspect ratio by default. Using the modifier key suddenly allowed the user to stretch the image. Some people, me being one of them, loved that change because it made Photoshop work the way it should have worked all along, the way just about every other application on the planet worked. But there was a sizable group of users who were irate because it ran afoul of their muscle memory. In the next update, Adobe added a setting so that users could choose their preferred option. Okay, some dumbness there, but evil? Let's consider that next. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In Short Circuits, I keep coming back to asking the question, are these two software giants evil? I don't think so. Let's take a look at the case for the prosecution, and we'll start with Adobe. Adobe's prices are high, and I suspect that even Adobe wouldn't deny that. But Adobe's products are designed primarily for business users, and the company spends a lot every year on research and development. Continuous improvement seems to be the motto. Early in the development of InDesign, I wrote a highly critical review in which I compared Adobe's product with Ventura Publisher. The product manager offered to fly me to Seattle to meet with the developers, but I already had plans to be in Seattle, so I asked him to simply pick up the tab of an extra night at the hotel. After meeting with a room full of developers and showing them the features that Ventura had that InDesign didn't, I watched over the next decade or so as many of the features I described were added to InDesign. Ventura Publisher was already being discontinued, in part because it ran only on Windows computers, and the main battle was between Adobe and Quark. Still, Adobe took the time to listen and worked to improve their application. Adobe is also criticized because it has adopted a subscription-based model that some users feel is unfair and restrictive. There is some validity here, but the subscription model, which will probably be used by a majority of software developers eventually, ensures an income stream that keeps the developers employed to continue improving the products. Lack of competition is another complaint that has some validity. For those who need the wide selection of applications in Creative Cloud, there is no real competition, as I mentioned earlier. For those who need just part of the suite, there may be firms with competing products. But I have seen no evidence that Adobe has acted unethically in establishing its market dominance. Some users have criticized Adobe for its use of digital rights management and strict licensing terms. Adobe isn't alone in this regard, and the company does seem to be mostly aiming to play fair with those who use the software and those who offer their work for licensing through Adobe. The most significant complaints recently deal with Adobe's data collection practices and privacy policies. At its most basic, Adobe says that those who use the software's online functionality, much of which is still being developed, should be willing to allow developers to examine both input and output to determine ways to improve the procedures. Adobe certainly is a tough competitor. That doesn't, in my view, make it evil. Moving on to Microsoft, there's the question of monopoly that always hangs over that company. Microsoft's treatment of WordPerfect is one case in point, because Microsoft misled WordPerfect into concentrating on OS 2 development, only to pull the rug out from under the Orem company with Windows 95 and its own termination of the OS 2 project, which surprised IBM. That left WordPerfect in a position that was far behind Microsoft, and the company never really recovered. Unlike complaints about high prices at Adobe, Microsoft prices are actually low. Because Windows is ubiquitous, Microsoft can offer unlimited updates for the operating system on any computer. But it seems likely subscription pricing is coming. Subscription pricing is already in place for Microsoft 365, the Office suite, but the price is so low that it's competitive even when compared to open source applications like OpenOffice and LibreOffice, which are free. Microsoft has been accused of spying on users because the company collects information about how its operating systems and applications are used. Microsoft claims the information is used by developers to improve the software, and that is mostly true. The company can collect personal information data, but when that happens, it's usually the side effect of collecting crash logs that are needed to locate software errors and vulnerabilities. And Microsoft doesn't retain any of that personal information. And finally, there's the perception that Microsoft forces users to upgrade. Well, that's clearly false, because a certain number of users are still running Windows 7, and sometimes even earlier versions. These operating systems no longer receive updates of any sort, but the fact that they can still be used means that the updates aren't forced. Microsoft certainly isn't always kind. Certainly, it's a difficult company to compete with, but it seems to me that it doesn't quite delve into being evil, at least no more than any other gigantic, heartless corporation. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.